Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Ephesians chapter 4, one book ahead. If you'll go there, Ephesians chapter 4. And verse number 31, Ephesians chapter 4, let's go ahead and read verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And in Colossians chapter number 3, so that would be two books forward, Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 5, you'll see there's a list of things to mortify in verse 5. That means to kill, to put to death. And then starting in verse 8, some things to put off. In verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Out of your mouth lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And in the book of James, if you'll go there next, the book of James, tucked right after Hebrews, the book of James, chapter number 1, and verse number 20, very important verse here, when we're talking about the wrathful man, this matter of anger and wrath, James chapter 1, verse number 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Heavenly Father, open our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be helped through the Scriptures. This, Lord, is meant to be an encouragement to God's people. Lord, it seems like this is an area where a number of Christians, and I mean good people, but we fight it. I think there was especially, Lord, early on in my Christian life and in my young manhood that I had to come kind of face to face with this, and Lord, not that it's not still there, but Lord, there was a time when I had to just get some victory. And so I pray, Lord, that you would use this Bible study to help us to understand this sin, to view it as you view it, to help us to not make excuses about it, but to, through the fullness of the Holy Spirit and through his help, to get victory in this area of our lives. And Lord, may we do a good examination, the book of Proverbs, glean wisdom, and help us, Lord, as we develop our character, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. We've studied a number of different people in the book of Proverbs. The wrathful man is the one we will look at tonight. You'll hear me say two different words, and it's important probably that I go ahead and explain at the very beginning of the study that there is a difference between these two words. You'll see them sometimes right beside each other. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. And so somebody says, well, wrath is anger and anger is wrath. But actually, that's not the case, although they are connected. Wrath, if you look up that word, talks about the contents within a bottle. And that's talking about an inward thing. Sometimes, maybe outwardly, you do not look as angry or mad, but you're seething on the inside. A lot of people walk around with this inward cauldron of wrath just churning off and on throughout the day. And that is what a definition of the word wrath. It's talking about an inward anger, if you'll let me say that. The word anger, on the other hand, is talking about the countenance. It's talking about the face. And it's talking about the displaying, the outward displaying. I think anger occurs when inward wrath boils over. I think, and I'll teach you this tonight, I think you can be angry and not wrathful. I think you can be wrathful and contain anger, but you'll find out that there is a pretty strong connection most of the time in these two areas. And I want to share with you some Bible principles concerning wrath and anger tonight, and I want you to understand a little bit about it. This is an emotion that has caused a lot of heartache. We're going to see that very little good is said about it. I do want to explain a little bit about anger, and I do think that sometimes people say, well, if you got mad, then you're sinned. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to get mad. And the honest truth is, if you go to Mark chapter number 3, I'll read it to you. He, speaking of Jesus, entered into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they, speaking of the Pharisees, held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as other. Now, folks, this is interesting. The word wrath is not connected with Christ, but the word anger is. Remember, anger is the outward countenance. In other words, he purposefully changed his countenance to reflect anger. And I don't think Jesus ever lost his temper. I don't think he ever lost his temper. I think losing your temper is a sin. I think displaying anger at times is appropriate if it's planned and if it's not the spilling over of wrath. Jesus was angry that day. Why? It tells us why he was angry. He was angry because he wanted something, he didn't get it. He was angry because he didn't get his way. No, he was angered. The Bible said he looked upon them with anger, being grieved at the hardness of their heart. Now, stay with me. I'm gonna show you something. Go over to John chapter 2 while we're in the New Testament, and we'll head towards Proverbs. But John chapter 2, sometimes this is pointed at as a time when Jesus lost his temper. John chapter 2 and verse number 12, and the Bible says, in John 2:12, the Gospel of John, after this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brother and his disciples, and they continued there not many days, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, watch this, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Now there's a difference between zeal and anger. If you look up that word zeal, it means to be jealous for God. To be jealous for God. So again, this wasn't anger coming from a selfish motive. This was his passion for the Father. This was his passion for God. This was his jealousy over what the temple was supposed to be used for and what it was being used for. And this spilled out. And by the way, he didn't lose his temper. Losing your temper means you look around and grab the first thing and just start swinging it. I like the fact that the Bible specifically says, and when he had made a scourge of small cords. So he went in, looked around, said, somebody's going to have to do something about this. Went out, got the materials, maybe he sent the disciples, maybe he got them himself, sat down, took his time, fashioned the scourge, then went in there and took care of business. That's not losing your temper. That is a planned display of anger. Okay, that is the zeal of the Lord hath eaten me up. They are defiling the temple of God, and I am not going to stand here and watch this happen. And so the reason I'm saying this is the Bible even says, be angry and sin not. And so then it says, let not the sun go down on thy wrath. Now notice the two things there. Bible says, listen, if you're going to display anger, you do it in such a way where you're not sinning. Now, wait a minute. Define that, preacher, so I know. Here's I believe, a absolute 100% accurate definition and defining of where that line is. Listen, folks, study God. Okay, have you ever heard the phrase, the wrath of God? Is it in the Bible? Does God get mad? Okay, if I am going to get mad and sin not, then this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to find out what God gets mad about, and I can safely get mad about those things and know that I'm not sinning. Okay, so there are some things that ought to make a Christian mad. There's some things that ought to cause us at times to purposefully and in a planned way display anger. But that's a lot different than inward wrath boiling over out into uncontrolled fits of anger. That's two different things. I did want to say that because I don't want to come across as saying that, you know what, I mean, I've watched preachers preaching against sin, and you can tell by the time they're halfway through, they're mad about it. Well, you know what? God's mad about sin. I like seeing a preacher get a little exercised about when he's preaching against sin. You know, and so there's nothing wrong with that. But what I want to do is I want to be godly. Isn't that the goal, to be godly? And so, you know what? When I see the hardness of a person's heart that claims to be religious, it makes me mad. You know why? Because it made Jesus mad. When I see somebody taking the temple of God and defiling it, by the way, I'm not talking about this building. What? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? It makes me mad. Okay, why? Because it made Jesus mad. See, listen, if we'd start getting mad about the things that God gets mad about and stop getting mad about foolish, selfish things in our own life, we could get this thing figured out, okay? And so notice it says the wrath of God, man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And there's a difference between us examining what God gets mad at, being mad about the same thing, or being mad in our flesh. And so the emotion of anger, watch this, should be carefully managed and should only be used for the express purpose of driving away evil. That's point number one. An example of that, Proverbs 25. You might as well head that way. We're going to be in Proverbs now for most of the time. But Proverbs 25 and verse number 23, if you want to find that. And then we'll be in and out of Proverbs, moving around. Keep the pages moving. It's good for you to look at the verses. Never know what God might show you that the preacher forgets to mention, okay? Proverbs 25, verse number 23. Notice this. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance. Notice that. Not wrath. Not wrath. Angry countenance means, you know what? I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to put a look of anger on my outward visage, and I am going to make a purpose and a point to let this person know by just looking at me, I'm not happy right now. Now, why would somebody do that? The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance say what? So some, see, listen, if Jesus was here and somebody began to use their tongue to backbite somebody, you would see Christ's countenance change, and you would see Christ look upon that person with anger. Why? Because he wants to put fear in their heart. He wants to know it's unacceptable. He wants to know that makes me mad. Okay? And if Christians would be like Jesus, you know what? You say, well, I know, preacher, you're not supposed to get mad at people. I don't want to offend them. Jesus didn't seem that concerned about offending those money changers. He just didn't seem all that concerned about it. And so what I'm saying is it would be a good thing for us to study the Word of God and to be aware of that. That'd be a great personal Bible study. For a preacher, you ought to preach on that. You ought to study that out. I have studied that. And I know exactly what makes the Lord mad. And I know the things that make Jerry Ross mad that doesn't have anything to do with spirituality. And I better figure out how to separate those two things and not use one as an excuse for the other. Okay? Well, God would have got mad at that too. I think you better have a Bible verse. Okay? Maybe you better do a study there and figure it out. Because we do see God's wrath displayed. But one of the things you'll notice, and we're going to get this in a second, is you also see that the wrath of God usually follows a great season of the patience of God. A great season of the patience of God. And so, number one, the emotion of anger should be carefully managed, should only be used for the express purpose of driving away evil. Number two, uncontrolled anger never accomplishes the will of God. James 1:20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We already looked at that verse. Uncontrolled anger never accomplishes the will of God. The wrath of man, this inward turmoil, this inward churning, this constant inward anger that some folks just seem to carry around and just wrestle with. And by the way, folks, there's deliverance. There really is deliverance from that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. Uncontrolled anger, though, never accomplishes the will of God. And so if I have that in my heart, and that's one of the driving forces of my life, it's going to come in conflict with the will of God and God's will and me performing the will of God that He's asked me to do, and to do it in the right way. And so I've got to get that thing taken care of. I've got to get it squared away. I've got to figure out what's putting wood on that fire. What's going on in there? And I ask the question sometimes in counseling, what are you really mad about? Well, I'm mad about this. No, you're not. You know, if you're mad every day, you're not mad about every little pick and thing. There's something deeper. You better start getting before God and opening your heart and taking a look and figuring out what's really going on there. And so we'll talk some more about that here in a bit. All right, number three, a Christian should be slow to anger. Slow to anger. Now, as we go through Proverbs, you'll see this repeated time and time again. Let's look at some of the verses. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Proverbs 14, verse 17. Well, notice the wording on this. It'll help you if you'll take a look at the wording of this and see how adamant about this God is. Proverbs 14, verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Proverbs 14, 17. Look down into the chapter, verse 29. Proverbs 14, 29. He that is slow to anger, watch this, slow to wrath, is of great understanding. But he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And so you see foolishness connected with this. You see folly connected with this. You see great understanding connected to the Christian who is slow to wrath, slow to anger. Proverbs 16, just a couple chapters over, verse 32. I like this verse. This ought to challenge you. It's talking about self-control. This is one of the verses that teaches us the character trait of temperance and self-control. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, again, folks, watch this, all right? Is the Holy Spirit of God in charge inside of here? Is the Holy Spirit of God influencing your reborn spirit? Is your reborn spirit being influenced by the Holy Spirit, controlling your soul, which is your emotions, your heart, your mind, your thinking, your will? And the honest truth is, the fruit of the Spirit we read about, the fruits of the flesh or the works of the flesh are manifest. Anger, wrath, when these things are coming in, it's coming from the flesh side, it's not coming from the spirit side. And so here the Bible challenges us men especially. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Now, here's a statement you hear women and men make at times, and this is it. I can't help the way I feel. Well, I just can't help the way I feel. I can't help the way I feel. And they just pull that in as if that's an explanation, an excuse for anything and everything they want to say or do. You know what I say to that? Baloney. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a statement. That's a lie. You can help the way you feel. Now, let me explain it again. If somebody is spirit-filled, and the Holy Spirit is communicating and in control of that reborn spirit, and then that reborn spirit is Lord over the soul, and I'm talking about having spiritual thoughts and spiritual feelings, spiritual emotions, and a yielded will to God. And you know what? Then listen, it's going to flow from the divine down to earth, down to the practical, and we don't feel right because we don't think right, and we don't think right because everything's flowing from this way. You got the flesh in charge, and the flesh is controlling the thinking, and the flesh is controlling the emotions, and the flesh is controlling the will, and the spirit, reborn spirit's over here pushed to the side, and the Holy Spirit's being grieved. Now listen, we can make every excuse. Well, I'm Irish. I don't know why being Irish. You know, I got red hair. I can't help it, you know. It's amazing the things that we'll reach for to try to justify something. And the honest truth is, it just boils down to, you know, what are we going to be spirit controlled, or are we going to be flesh controlled? And so Christians should be slow to anger. Listen, rule your spirit. Listen, rule your spirit. Rule it. You're mightier than he that taketh a city if you can rule a spirit, your own spirit. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Okay? Notice the Bible doesn't say never get mad. It just says you ought to go, that ought to be a slow road. There ought to be a speed limit sign. It says 1 mile per hour posted on that road. Okay? Because if we're slow to wrath and slow to anger, it gives us time to evaluate, is this feeling coming from the Spirit of God being grieved over this situation, or is this just selfish me being mad? And if you go from 0 to 100, you don't have time to evaluate anything. You just blow up, you know, puff up, blow up, and next thing you know, everybody's got to pay the consequences of it. But if you go slow, you got some time to pray about it. You got some time to think about it. And hey, you know, it's a wonderful thing. You know, your grandma and grandpa used to tell us to count to 100. I thought, I don't know, man, maybe Jerry Ross, I think, needed to count to 1,000 a few times. But what they were saying is this: just go slow. You know what? You feel that old wrath starting to stir up. Wait a minute. Maybe sometimes it's good just to say, okay, I think I need to take a walk around the house, think about this, see if I can get the heart of God on this situation, and not let the emotion of the moment rule the day. And you know what? It is. You know, the Bible talks about our besetting sin. The honest truth is, this is more of a challenge for some people than others. It just is. And what you have to do is you have to work harder at it. It could be, temper could be your besetting sin. That means, you know what, you're going to have to work harder at being slow to anger. Proverbs 19, we're just a few chapters away. Look over there, Proverbs 19, verse number 11. I like this word, deferreth. Proverbs 19, 11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. And that word deferreth means to stretch it out, to make it long. And so what it does, it says if you have discretion, what you're going to do is you're going to lengthen that road. You're going to lengthen that time span. You're going to defer your anger. You're going to slow the process down. And it is his glory to pass over a transgression. And the honest truth is, folks, more times than not, it would be a better display of character to simply let something go than it is to decide to cloud up and thunder and lightning and storm over every little thing that happens in life. Folks, you're going to have an ulcer. It's going to, in the long run, you're causing yourself more problems than anything else. Stop getting so exercised over every little thing. Honestly, good night. If I spend as much time mad as I've watched some Christians spend, I don't know how they have time to do anything else. You know, folks, honestly, wrath is close to insanity. Study the Word out. You don't think well when you're there. You don't do well. You don't decide well when you're there. That's why the Bible says, you know what, you better make that a long road. And by the time you get to the end of that road, and if you've walked it slow and anger is needed, it ought to be a conscious decision, not an out of control overspilling of inward wrath. That ought to be a conscious decision. You ask the teenagers, some of them will testify. Pastor Jerry has called them at times into groups and displayed my anger. Okay, I have. All right. Say, oh, that's terrible. No, that's good. They need to know that there's some things that is going to make the pastor mad. But I didn't fly off the handle. I set my office. I planned it. I decided where they'd be. I decided the circumstances. I decided which gun I was going to walk in carrying. What my weapon of choice was. And by the way, once the anger has been displayed and the understanding has come to, they'll see me 15 minutes later, and you know what? We're fine. We're fine. And that's the difference between what Jesus was doing here, displaying anger, displaying a outward countenance of anger over his displeasure over something that God would be displeased about. That's a whole different deal than me just something didn't happen that I wanted to happen, or somebody didn't do like I wanted to do, and just out of frustration, just out of the flesh, I blow up on somebody. Okay, that's a whole different deal there. Okay, so number three, Christians should be slow to anger. How are we doing on time? Good. Number four, let me tell you some of the ramifications of uncontrolled anger if we don't get this under control and we don't allow these things to, if we allow these things to rule in our life. Uncontrolled anger isolates a person. It begins to isolate a person. In Proverbs chapter 21, go there, we'll look in a verse in 21, we'll look at a verse in 22. Uncontrolled anger isolates a person. This is one of the reasons, one of the motivations, I hope, that you'd have to fix this thing and to get to the answers on this. Proverbs 21:19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. I know husbands, that this is their life verse. This is their life verse. And so we'll get the men here in a minute, okay? But what the Bible is saying here in chapter 21, verse 19, is, ladies, listen to me. You know what? It's no fun. The purpose of these two verses, when we get done to it, can be summarized in this. You know what? If you're mad at all the time, who wants to be around you? If you're walking around with a, you know, hair trigger all the time, and everybody's going to walk on eggs, excuse me, but who really wants to walk? Who wants to be around that? Who wants to join in on that? How much time do you want to spend around that person? Feeling like you're walking through a landmine every minute you're around. Come on, look up here. Let me help you. Your kids shouldn't have to live like that. Come on, your kids shouldn't have to live like that. Your wife shouldn't have to live like that. Come on. Your husband shouldn't have to live like that. Other church members shouldn't have to live like that. You see, and so there comes a point in time you got to deal with something. Say, you know, I'm mad. What are you mad about? Oh, I'm mad because nobody likes me. Maybe because you're mad all the time. Proverbs 22:24, chapter over, 24th verse. Notice the command here. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. You young ladies, get ready off going off to Bible college. You better pay attention to this. You don't go with somebody that's furious. Okay, don't go with them. Make no friendship with an angry man. You know, well, nobody's my friend. Well, it's because you're a hothead. Come on. Because people get tired of it after a while. You're fine one day. You walk in the next day and they say one word and you know, a nuclear bomb goes off. Honestly, I mean, I'm sorry, but I'm not willing to invest my life in that friendship, and I'm commanded not to. Said, make no friendship with an angry man, with a furious man. Thou shalt not go. I was kidding a little bit with the girls here, but you young ladies better listen to him. You know why I think there ought to be a period of time of courtship? You know why I think there needs to be a period of time? You need to see that young man and that young lady in a lot of different circumstances. You need to be around them in a lot of different circumstances. You say, well, he's a great guy, except just this one thing. He just kind of has a hair trigger temper. But besides that, he's a great guy. The Bible says that's enough of a reason to take a walk. Well, he don't get mad at me. He gets mad at other things. Well, you're not living with him yet. Okay, he's courting you. But if he's got an uncontrolled temper about everything else, you don't think at some point you're going to be... you might be the target of that? Okay, honestly, you better listen to me. Okay. Well, she's a really nice girl, and you know, even but it just seems like she gets mad, and then she gets this dark cloud, and she goes on for a day or two, and then it blows over, and then we're fine for a week, and then she gets mad. And you know, if you want to do that, God bless you. You really don't. Come on, guys. You want to sign up for that the rest of your life? And that's during courtship when you're seeing the best of her. Okay, and I don't understand. I don't understand. I used to see it in college, and watch these guys following these mad girls around all the time. You know? If he followed her for a couple of days, she'd turn around, and smile at him again, and then he'd be Twitter baited. And then a week later, she's mad at him. And I thought, really, really, I think I'm going to keep looking until I find someone like Cheryl. Is what I'm going to do. And Thank God I found somebody like Cheryl. Amen. In fact, I found Cheryl. And make no friendship with an angry man. Number five, uncontrolled anger opens the door to many other sins. Proverbs 22:24, the last part of that verse we just looked at. No, that's not it. Make no friendship with an angry man. With a fierce man thou shalt not go. Okay, I pasted the wrong verse into that slot. I'll find it down here somewhere. We'll keep going, but just trust me. It does. Uncontrolled anger opens the door. You writing this one down, Brother Nathan? To many other sins. And there's a verse that teaches that. I just don't know where it's at. But it's in there. Number six, uncontrolled anger. Boy, I want you to get this. Look at chapter 27, I think, verse 4. I don't know anymore. Proverbs 27:4. Look at number six. Uncontrolled anger is an act of outrageous cruelty. And I want this to sink in on you. So we've got Christian people downplaying this like this is some minor sin in their life. It's not a minor sin. You know, uncontrolled anger is an act of outrageous cruelty. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. It's funny, though, the Bible says this, but who is able to stand before envy? We'll cover that maybe down the road, study that man. But the Bible says wrath is just cruel. Look up here. Come on, let's explain. What was the definition of wrath? Just to walk around all the time with this cauldron of seething at anything and everything. And really, that defines to a large extent your personality. Can I say that? That's just cruel to your family. It's just cruel to your spouse. It's just cruel to your children. It's just cruel to humanity. Okay? It's outrageous, the Bible says. It's outrageous. I didn't even know that word was in the Bible. Outrageous. So think about that. You know, it's an act of cruelty. I don't know if there's anything worse than cruelty. You know, cruelty is just being mean for the sake of being mean. Just hurting for the sake of hurting. And if you look up that word cruel and really look at it, deriving pleasure from inflicting pain on somebody else. Come on. I think this thing, wrath, if this has become a part of your life, it needs to be faced. It needs to be dealt with. Uncontrolled anger is an act of outrageous cruelty. Number seven, I got 10 of them. We're still doing good. We got 15 minutes here. I'll find that verse maybe. Uncontrolled anger in a man places a heavy burden on those around him. Look at verse number 3. Back up to the verse before verse number 4 there. Stone is heavy and sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Now, stone's heavy. You ever picked up a stone of any size? Okay, sand is weighty. I buy usually a couple of those. They sell them at the Lowell's in different places, and they're kind of like a gunny sack, and they're full of sand, and I take them and I throw them in the back of the pickup truck during the winter time so that my little S10 don't decide to do this everywhere I go. And it just adds weight to it. You only have to buy two or three of those and throw them in the back of your truck. I'm telling you what, your truck's setting down. You know why? Because sand is weighty. Now think about this. If you are insisting that the people in your life put up with your wrath and cruelty, you're insisting that they carry heavy stones and weighty sand on their shoulders. This is how you are forcing them to live. Folks, that's not fair. That's not fair. It's just not. It's just not. It had been an act of cruelty for me and my wife to construct a home where those three precious girls had to grow up carrying the burden, constant burden and fear of how daddy's going to react to every little thing or how mom's going to react. That would be an act of cruelty. That would have been a weight that would have bore down on them. Children shouldn't have to grow up like that. I've got adult people in here, and you know what? If they were transparent and they wanted to share their upbringing, they would say, "Preacher, I know exactly what you're talking about. I grew up in a home where it was a regular thing for there to be a screaming, hollering, name-calling fit thrown. And we never knew when and how or what time of day or night it was going to come. Listen, you know, bless their hearts. My heart goes out for kids like that. Yeah, and it is cruel, because here's the thing. I'm going to tell you something. You talk to adults that had to grow up like that, and it's like there's still something in their adult years. Now, I know God can give victory, and God can give peace, and God can help you overcome things, but it's just there's something that they still carry from them. And it's what a terrible thing to do to a young person growing up. I watch little wives that just walk around and they cringe all the time, and I think to myself, shame on them. I'd rather have Brother Klein. I'd rather somebody tie me to a post and flog me than let me do that to that precious woman over there. I don't want her to have to live that way. I deserve a good flogging if I was to put her through that kind of a hell on earth. Make my home that. I mean it. Shame on them. That's a wrong thing. It's a wicked thing. And so think about these things and take the seriousness of it. Proverbs 29:22. I think this might be the verse. At least the last part of it. Anger unchecked always results in strife and sin. In this matter of strife, we said on the other point that I couldn't find the verse with. Uncontrolled anger opens the door to many other sins. Look at the last part of this verse. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man, watch this, aboundeth in transgression. So anger not only produces strife, but it opens the door for all kinds of other sins. You know what? Talk to Brother Marvin Smith. We talked about this going up to the airport. Anger and wrath not dealt with is one of those things that kicks open the door and allows Satan to have a foothold, an open door into a home, into a life, into a heart, into a relationship. Somewhere along the line, you need to close that door. Because you crack the door open and other transgressions can abound, other transgressions can get in, and more sin seems to come and take over, and it's just a demonic foothold. But the point I wanted to make, point number 8 here, is unchecked anger results in strife. An angry man stirreth up strife. I'll read you the next two. Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Proverbs 30:33. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood, so the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife, strife, strife. 3 times the Bible says, you know what? If you've got unchecked anger, you've got wrath, you've got things that you're not dealing with, and it's turning up inside of you, let me tell you what you're constantly going to have in your life. You're always going to be butting heads. You're always going to have strife. You're always going to have an argument. You're always going to have a fuss and a fight. And at some point, God needs to help you to get the victory over this. Look at Proverbs 19:19. We'll go there. I'm showing you some of the results of this if we don't take care of it. Some of the results of it, Proverbs 19:19. A man of great wrath, interesting here, shall suffer punishment. Now notice this, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. And so what happens is a man of great wrath gets himself in trouble, and he's looking at facing some type of punishment, and maybe God or someone else comes in and delivers him from that. But the problem is, if he doesn't take care of the root problem, he's going to be in a situation pretty soon again where he's facing punishment. And somebody might come in and save him again and deliver him again, but at some point, he'll be right back there again, and at some point, he's going to face punishment. I've watched parents do this. I've watched parents with an out-of-control kid, and because of their anger and their anger problems, get themselves in trouble here, and maybe they can rescue them. Maybe they can smooth things over. But listen, young person, if you don't get that under control, old mom and dad's going to be able to only save you so many times. You're going to cross a line where nobody can save you. God says punishment's coming. And so you got to be careful. Men and ladies, we got to be careful with this. There's punishment connected to this matter of great wrath and this great inward cauldron of, churning inward anger that we're not dealing with or we're not finding the solution to. All right. Now, let's get some help here, okay? How do you deal with this, preacher? How do you diffuse the anger? How do you diffuse the wrath? Well, let me give you 3 quick points here, and we'll be done in time, in a timely fashion, okay? Number one, this isn't the beginning of the message. This is the summary, all right? Number one, humility. Humility.
Yes, sir.
It has to start with the humbling of yourself. Most people are mad all the time because they are trying to get their way all the time, and they can't get their way all the time, and they're mad all the time because they can't get their way all the time. You know what? Stop. You need to set aside the mindset of pride. You know, I got a news flash for some of you. The whole world didn't wake up this morning just to check on you and see what you wanted or what you needed. The whole world, universe, you know, I call them Boswells. If you ever hear me refer to a guy as Boswell, you'll know what I'm talking about. Come on, those of you that have driven north on 41, and there's that little town called what?
Boswell.
And some crazy people in Boswell put a sign out there that says Boswell. And what's it say underneath it? The center of the universe. They've decided that their small town is the center of the universe. So that's what's on the sign as you drive past Boswell. Boswell, the center of the universe. And I always laugh about it. I think, yeah, I know some Boswells. They really think they're the center of the universe. No, you're just a speck in it. Okay? And forgive me, I know this is going to be devastating to you, but we don't have a responsibility to wake up every morning, call you, and make sure you're happy. Some of you narcissists would be shocked just how little people actually even think about you. Come down to earth. Come down. Come down to earth. Come down with us mortals. You know, I was laughing. Somebody says, well, every time I come to church, I can look around and just tell everybody's thinking about me. And I wonder what they're thinking. They're thinking about me. I'm thinking, I hate to tell you this, but probably 99% of them aren't even thinking at all about you. You know, somebody that's paranoid really is just over infatuated with themselves. Okay. You know, I could tell by the way they looked at me. They probably were just looking around. I doubt if everybody all week long says, I can't wait to get to church to stare at that person and to think things about them that makes them nervous. You know, it's just... Okay. I think about y'all as I'm praying for you, but I just don't do a whole lot more than that. And you probably do the same, and I'm not offended. There's a lot of things to think about in life. Okay? And so, a little humility. What does Proverbs 21:24 say? Let's look at this verse because it gives us great help here. Notice this. Boy, if there's an emphatic statement when it comes to this matter of wrath, here it is. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in what kind of wrath? I think God emphasized that plenty. Proud, haughty, scorner, proud, wrath. You know what God's saying? Pride's your problem. Pride's your problem. What are y'all mad about? Because you didn't get your way. Because nobody understands. Because nobody will listen. Because nobody thought about you today. Because nobody called you. Because nobody asked you. Because everybody was invited but me. Stop. Stop. Seriously, come on. Get off of it. Okay? Die to self. Look right up here. How do I take care of wrath? You know, a lot of people want they say they want the solution until you give them the solution. This is how you solve the wrath. This is how hot-headed young Jerry Ross, who needed to deal with this, this is how God taught me to deal with it. You die to self. Anybody ever been in a funeral home? Walked up to the casket and watched the corpse lose its temper. Come on. Die to what?
Self.
Because as much as we'd like to say, I'm mad because, I'm mad because, I'm mad because, I'm mad because, the honest truth is we ought to say, I'm mad because, I'm mad because, I'm mad because, I'm mad because. Because most of it is driven by selfishness. Okay? And so humility, this matter of, you know what? Okay. Something happens. I don't agree with that. I wish that hadn't been said, or I wish that hadn't been done. Okay. Moving on. So. Okay. Moving on. All right. I'm not going to let it ruin my day. You know, I think some of you are giving people way too much power in your life. Really. Just giving your, you know, somebody says one thing and you're mad for 3 days. I can't afford to live like, I just can't. I could not, Brother Joe, be distracted for 3 days and get done and try to help the people I need to help. And I can't allow anybody to say or do anything that would cause me to check out of life for 3 days. I can't do that. By the way, I would be robbing Blessed Hope Baptist Church if I did that. What am I supposed to do? Come for 3 days, sit in my office, and stare at the wall and kick the drawer about every 5 minutes? Sweep the desk clean? Punch my deer in the nose? Come out here, kick some pews, come out here and throw some songbooks, come out here and stand in the parking lot and throw gravel up in the air. I don't think that y'all are paying me to do that. I don't think y'all are paying me to do that. And so, okay, uncontrolled anger. How do you do it? Humility. Humility. How about this, Proverbs 15:1. Look at this one. This is such a good thing. Here's one of the best things that you can learn to do in life if you have trouble with anger issues. Proverbs 15:1. Watch this. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So you've got two options. You got a soft answer, it's going to turn wrath away, or you can spout out grievous words and stir up the problem. You got to decide what you're going to do. Okay, I taught our young people in chapel here just a quick little trick this morning. I said, you know how you diffuse criticism? You know how you diffuse somebody that's negative? You know how you stay positive? Is anytime somebody comes to you and either criticizes or brings negativity about a situation or a person, I said, you always look at that person and you answer them with a positive about that same situation or that same person. And I just wish everybody would just build that into their lives. Okay. Somebody walks in, the first thing they say is, boy, the auditorium's a little warm today. I can't believe they left that open up there like that. And you can say, you know what, I just thank God that we're having to expand and build, and isn't it a wonderful thing that you know what, we've got to put some more seats in here, and I just praise God. I mean, a couple of uncomfortable services sure worth the 30 or 40 extra souls we can fit in here. And you know what, you just got to decide. Some of you are so easily swayed. You're like blown around, not with every wind of doctrine, but by every wind of emotion. Somebody comes up to you angry, and you turn angry. Somebody comes up to you sad and you, you know, whether it's something you even ought to be sad about. You know, sometimes you're happy and next thing you know, you're happy. But the problem is, you're at the mercy all the time of everybody around you. Okay? You know, my highs aren't super high, but my lows aren't super low. And the best thing to learn to do is just keep a consistency about you. Now, I can get excited. And I mean, there's times when we ought to. And I can get brokenhearted, and there's times we ought to. And Jesus wept. My favorite memory verse. Jesus wept. So there's times for the highs and there's times for the lows. But there's, you know, I call them yo-yo Christians. Come on. Up, down, up, down. Where's my yo-yo? I gave my yo-yo away. Somebody gave me a yo-yo in a weak moment of weakness. Did Max give me that? In a moment of weakness, there was a visitor, and a little girl came in, and she was playing with my yo-yo, and I gave it away, and I missed that thing. It was a butterfly Duncan yo-yo. I don't want the regular kind. I want a butterfly Duncan yo-yo. You got to get a good one, because you can't walk the dog with the regular kind. You got to, you know, flip that thing around. Anyway. Up 1 minute, down the next, up 1 minute, next. Soft answer. Listen, folks, listen. Most situations in my life where there's a potential for it going somewhere it shouldn't, I can diffuse with a sentence. And so can you if you'd learn some wisdom. I can diffuse with a sentence. And so could you if you'd learn some wisdom. Okay, there's an angry moment. What are you going to do, throw gas on the fire? Okay, if you throw gas on a fire, you know what it does? Poof. How many of you snuck gas out of your dad's garage at one point in your life to the campground somewhere? Yeah. It's amazing that we have any hair or eyebrows to this day. You know? We took, I mean, some of us don't. Me and David snuck a whole quart one time of gas down below. We must have been little then, because I moved. I was in seventh grade when we moved here. We had a camp ground down. Don't you kids do this stuff, all right? Evil, wicked stuff. That was probably before I was saved or something. And we decided, we were smart enough not to pour it on the fire, thank God. If you go to pour gas, the fire just climbs up and explodes, you know. So we decided we'd go like this, and we took the whole quart, threw a whole quart full, backed up, that thing came down. Oh, my soul. Kaboom. And listen, you got a little fire going. Come on, married couples, come on. You got a little fire going, okay? Instead of going and getting marshmallows and making a good time of it. A little fire's not bad every once in a while. Cook some things on that. Yeah, a little fire going. But no, you ain't got enough sense to go get sticks and hot dogs and marshmallows and chocolate and graham crackers. No, you're going to take a quart of gas and throw it on top of it. And we might as well make a night of it. Here we go. You threw the gauntlet down, buddy. We'll make this a 3-hour argument, you know. What in the world, really? I don't have enough energy anymore to argue for 3 hours. Soft answer. Look at one more. Proverbs 21:14. Proverbs 21:14. We're done. We'll read this, make a couple comments, we're done. How do you diffuse anger? Old-fashioned dose of humility all the way around. Soft answer. Hard to argue with somebody that's so nice. Gift in secret. Proverbs 21:14, a gift in secret pacifieth anger. Now, some of you guys, let me help you here, all right? Guys do a lot of stupid things that make their wives mad. Amen, ladies? Come on, help me out here. It's not like we try to. Sometimes we try to. Occasionally, we try to. Because, man, I mean, she's pretty anyway, but when she's mad, she's smoking hot. I'm telling you right now. So sometimes you're going to make them mad just for... So, yeah, every once in a while, you're going to make them mad on purpose. But... if I got a couch I can sleep on tonight. But guys are kind of dumb. Come on. It's not, we don't think we're dumb. It's just we don't understand you that much. And so some of the things we say or do, we think's hilarious. And apparently they're not. So you know what you do? That's why they have flower shops. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward, strong wrath. And so the honest truth is, well, we would be wise to know sometimes when we've just kind of blown it. Hello? Okay, I mean, and instead of walking around the next 2 or 3 days acting like it didn't really happen, you might just want to, you know, have something nice laying there on her chair in the living room with this note telling her what a caveman you have been. And the thing about it is listen, we've had some fun tonight, but God, listen, God can give you the victory in this area. God can give you the victory in this area. Sometimes it really is a matter of sorting things out. And saying, okay, God, there's something that has caused a turmoil in my life. And a lot of times we're picking leaves and we're not dealing with the root of the problem. And you got to deal with the root, and you got to get down to it, and you got to figure out what it is. And then you've got to do the best you can to come to peace with it. And you may not have a perfect solution, but you got to come to a place of peace. And then you know what you got to do? Come on, look up your church. You got to move on. Okay, life has some hurtful things and hard things, and whether or not you think it's true, nobody's got a perfect life, and everybody's got some things that probably should have been done a little bit different, or things that maybe wasn't all that good or all that fair. But you know what? You can't spend the rest of your life making everybody around you pay because you haven't gone back and just said, I got to look some things in the eye, and I got to come to peace between me and Almighty God with this thing. I've just got to find a place of peace. And honestly, you got to hammer that out sometimes with the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to throw this out. A lot of times, unresolved anger that just nobody can get victory on it, when you get all the way down to where the root is, because I've taken this journey with people, you know where that anger is really at, Brother Joe? That anger is at God. They don't want to say it, and they want to blame everybody, but really, you got an issue with God. Ultimately, you are mad at God about something. Well, he could have. Well, he could have kept. I've heard it all. But I'm going to tell you what, at some point in time, you've got to understand that God is good. The Bible says don't charge him with evil. He doesn't tempt man with evil. Don't charge him with evil. God's not evil. God's good. There's evil out there. You want to get mad? Get mad at the devil. You get mad at sin. I mean, sin and the devil's cause pretty much, you'll get mad at your own flesh. Those are the enemies. God's not the enemy, and your wife's not the enemy, and your husband's not the enemy, and your church and the church people aren't your enemy. And come on, settle this thing out. Work it out. Work it down. Preacher, it's hard. I didn't say it was easy. I didn't say it wasn't a journey. I didn't say it might not take some time. I'm saying work it through. Get down to a place of peace about something. Leave it at the foot of the cross. Get victory over it. Walk away and say, you know what? I'm not going to let the devil torment me in my life over that situation ever again. And you got to walk it through. And I hope this has helped you. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. So much that needs to be done for the Lord, and so many people that need to be influenced. And Lord, if we're not careful, the devil gets us on kind of an emotional hamster wheel, and we're running a million miles an hour, not getting anywhere, and it seems like we've become very ineffective. And so help us, Lord, to not let the devil, help us to recognize him for who he is, the man behind the curtain, pulling the ropes, pulling the strings. And so many times we're mad at everybody. We need to expose the man behind the curtain. Who's really behind all of this? Who's really got me Satora? What's going on? Lord, I don't know. Boy, in a congregation like this, there's so many stories and so many things and so many secrets of the heart. And I have a feeling that probably more people have heard from your Holy Spirit tonight and been encouraged to look at some things than we can understand. Life's just, it's hard. It's full of a lot of heartache. There's no doubt that there's some things in all of our lives as we look back upon. We just need some Holy Spirit help with it to settle it out and get victory over it, get it crucified, move on. So I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. Help the good people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, get on the victory side. Help this preacher, Lord, stay on the victory side. Help me not let small things of life turn into big things. Lord, help me to rule my own spirit. Lord, with your Holy Spirit's help, help me to rule my own spirit. Lord, help me to die to self, crucify the flesh. Lord, so I can live unto you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's